we present the news quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Welcome to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from The Telegraph, read by Harriet Cass.
A complaint has been made after an episode of Basil Brush featured a gypsy character selling pegs and lucky heather and a joke about a fortune teller stealing Basil's wallet. Joseph Jones, vice chairman of the Southern England Romany Gypsy and Irish Traveller Network, said to perpetuate this myth about gypsies and travellers is wrong. Attitudes like this belong 20 or 30 years ago. We are supposed to have moved on by now.
Now, thanks to John Stevenson of Bolton for sending that in. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Fred McCauley. And opposite them on my left, Sue Perkins and Phil Jupitus. Now, look, Jeremy, before we get into this, can I just say, I mean, obviously we all know what happened in the elections. But apparently, as one or two people in the audience tonight who sort of taped the whole thing, they want to go home and not spoil it. So I wonder if I could ask everybody to talk about the elections as if, you know, as if we didn't know the result, as if it was like a Thursday evening type thing.
Yeah, well, it is entirely possible that by the time this programme goes to air, the Mayor of London will be Boris Johnson. And people will know. London is famous throughout the world. It is probably the most famous city. People are going to know that our mayor is Boris Johnson. Visitors will come from other countries and they'll say, "Bah, park your spear by the door, bah!" I mean, this is horrible. And I do consider myself a Londoner, having lived here for more than half my life, and I do feel quite proud of this great city, and I just can't bear the thought. And he's been delivered to us by Have I Got News For You. If only Angus could have kept it in his pants. We did, I may have told this on the news before, I don't know if it was broadcast, but we did a recording in Blackpool once. I think it must have been the Tory Party conference, and the producer and I needed to get back to London that night, and there was a cab, and Boris was on the programme in those days when we used to think that he was funny. And he said, "Oh, I've got a cab back to London, blah, blah." And he got in the cab with us, and the producer explained, "Well, Boris, you do know that we're going as far as Broadcasting House, and then we ought to make our own way home from there." "Ah, fine." And it being a four-hour drive, producer and I fell asleep and woke up outside Boris Johnson's house. He'd hijacked the taxi. This is not a man to be trusted with running London. The tube will probably be diverted through his basement.
There'll be an extra stop at Henley.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember that film, Village of the Damned? All those children, blonde children. "Leave us alone." You can ignore his policies if you think really hard about a brick wall.
I got a handwritten note from Brian Paddock through my door. Does that count as something? That's very specific marketing. Either he's up all night writing a lot of letters to every single Londoner, or he only wants me to vote for him, and that leaves me with a feeling of mild discomfort.
Also, you live in the West Country, so he's gone an awfully long way. That's right. It's the most important election story of the week, the vote for the London mayor. Never mind about Zimbabwe and America and those delicious people in Wales. I voted for Dick Whittington, leader of the Panto Party. I have to say, any party whose election slogan is "and still no sign of Dick" is all right with me. So 2 points there to Jeremy. Fred, why is our house no longer the priciest in the street?
Your house may not be.
Again, a story you don't really care about.
No, this is a real except for listeners in Scotland, because the...
We're doing house prices, I'm starting the barbecue. Sorry, go on.
It is, isn't it? I think, specifically, the lowest number of mortgages were granted in March than since the most recent record started to be collated. But it's more bad news for Gordon, really, isn't it? That houses
Well, I mean,
working.
Particularly if he's moving house soon.
Yeah, which he could well be. We are a wee bit like a football team that's got a bad manager and we've had a series of bad home results. I'm half expecting the Queen to come out and give him her full support shortly.
But there is a silver lining. Apparently a lot of estate agents are going to lose their jobs.
Oh, good.
Oh.
can't be all bad, can it?
Well, does that mean that the Foxtons, you know, the Foxtons estate agents in their minis, they'll have to sort of downgrade to a sort of Trabant or something for the 1970s? I do hope so.
Inline skates, I think, would be... Yes. Scooter of some kind. Yes, this is the shocking news that at last the Daily Express headline writers have got something right. House prices have finally started to fall.
Except for listeners in Scotland.
Yes, but...
Which only appears once every 200 years.
But if you buy in that little window...
Yeah, you go across Hadrian's Wall and it's like Narnia. They've all got hairy legs. And then like, hello! Your investment safe here.
I bet you're always glad you've made the journey, Fred. I mean.
It's nice for him to come down and enjoy a bit of News Quiz tacit racism.
2 points to Fred. Sue, who tried to strike a blow against the oily profiteers?
Ah, yes, well, this is another high-low economic database that I simply can't fathom. This is oil prices go high, $100 million a barrel. Then they go low and crude oil bottoms out. And OPEC, I think, have called an extraordinary meeting. I don't know what that means. I don't know if they're probably just a normal meeting, but they dress as pirates and maybe reenact their favourite scenes from Dirty Dancing. Ooh, little tiger. And so something is going on with the price of oil, which is sort of meaningless to me. And there's oil is still cheaper pound for pound than Pick a Mix sweets at my local multiplex. But it's gone down very badly in America, where they are obsessed with, what am I going to do with my truck? And that's all they think about. And they consume 20 million tons or barrels of oil a day, I think, in America. And there's uproar, basically, which is dreadful.
Does it not make you think you should go into the barrel-making business?
Oh, it's the barrel that's expensive. The bejeweled Damien Hirst barrel of oil.
If you want to get rid of the oil, you need to get an equal amount of balsamic vinegar. And a lot of bread.
That's a crude dressing though,
it's...
isn't it?
I was grown away. It's the first one of the series. I read that Shell make...
Oil?
Yeah, no. No, they don't. They pump it. They don't make it.
No, they don't make it.
They don't make it.
God makes it.
Who does?
Who
God makes
it?
God makes it from tiny crushed up sea creatures, skeletons. The Bible tells me so.
Seahorses and pressure equals oil.
Something like that.
It's magic.
It's like being on the National Geographic Channel, isn't it?
I, when I was a child, I just thought it was wet coal. Oh.
I still think it's wet coal until now, and I feel a fool.
You used to get it on your swimming trunks, especially if you had those knitted ones that were full of krill when you came out of the sea. And there'd be all this oil on your bum, and I just thought it was a natural phenomenon that was in the sea oil. I suppose it is a natural phenomenon.
Actually, if ever there were oil spills, I actually used to go and swim in it because the only chance I got for intimacy as a child. It's being washed down by the seagull washers. Yeah, I'm a pelican.
Fred, what's the impact in Scotland? Are people having to think about walking to the chippy? I mean, what's...
Oh, come on!
Oh, shame!
Ooh. Shame on you, Cindy. I mean, I expect it of the panellists, but not the chairperson.
It's not...
Said Mr. Tumnus.
To think that I should live to see this day.
BP and Shell have announced record profits of £7.2 billion this week, whilst petrol hit the £5 a gallon mark and workers went out on strike at Grangemouth Oil Refinery over pay and pensions. In an attempt to find new reserves of oil, Gordon Brown has given permission for the exploratory drilling of Richard Madeley. 2 points to Sue. Phil, who's been checking out claims of cashing in?
Is it the... The supermarkets.
Yes.
The price, yes. Somehow, they can charge their suppliers if the goods that they have in the shop are shoplifted. They pass the cost on to the people that gave them to them. They bear no responsibility. Well, so, if you work, say, for Bounty, you go in, you nick all the crunchies.
What, and then just stamp on them out of spite?
Yeah, then you crush them and they're... Their bee-fueled goodness. Nice jacket, though.
Britain has topped the very pleased about this. Britain has topped the European shoplifting rankings for the past 7 years.
Oh, there's an amazing statistic about it, about shoplifting. Was in the run-up to Christmas, on an hourly rate, £50,000 worth of stuff is shoplifted per hour in the run-up to Christmas.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you know what? If you can't get your child the Nintendo Wii, 400 packets of Hobnobs is not going to distract them.
Phil, more than 700,000 British people shoplift every year.
Well, thank God. Imagine what the queues would be like if they didn't. It's not really wrong, though, is it, nicking from supermarkets? I mean, don't do it, kids, because it's against the law. But, you know, if you could get away with it.
And also, the security is much more sophisticated than it was, trust me.
Seriously, how many of the 700,000 do you think are Radio 4 listeners?
Well, since we've got a selection of the public here, and since there are no cameras, hands up anybody who's ever nicked anything from a shop. That's 95% of the audience. And that's just the ones wearing balaclavas. Yeah.
Supermarkets and manufacturers have been accused of profiteering following an investigation by the Competition Commission. The Competition Commission? What is that?
But if you phone them up, it's a pound, so don't do it. That's how they get you.
Wouldn't they do something useful, like close down Deal or No Deal? I mean, that's not a competition. So we've got 2 points to Phil. So at the end of that round, Jeremy and Fred have got 4 points, but so have Sue and Phil. And we start round two with a quote from Nottingham University Hospital's NHS Trust's policy guidelines.
In the event of an attempted suicide, the Trust will employ all reasonably practicable measures to ensure a successful outcome.
And our thanks to the very many employees of that particular Trust who sent us that, all of whom, for some reason, wish to remain anonymous. Jeremy, who can't be counted upon for the correct results?
Is this Mugabe?
Miss Mugabe.
Oh, thanks a bunch.
Yeah.
Boris Johnson and Mugabe. Old Jeremy, he's earnest and preachy. We'll give him the upcoming bloodbath in Zimbabwe. And now on Radio 4, an irreverent and sideways look at a rigged election. I mean, just because I sign the same petitions as Susanna York doesn't mean I don't like a bit of fun from time to time. Can't I have the sneezing panda or something? How do I extract mirth from this? It's horrible. The MDC supporters are being intimidated, beaten and burnt out of their homes, and there is probably going to be a civil war in the country in the next week. Exactly.
Oh, that's a belter, Jeremy, that really is.
Why should we... Oh, God.
No, it's extraordinary, though. I mean, for those of us who followed it over the years, Mugabe has now ruled for 28 years. You'd have thought he'd have got the hang of rigging an election by now. He's only got to phone George Bush, have a few words, see if he can get some advice.
Yeah, but George Bush has the black people taken off the register, which isn't going to really help.
Doesn't he actually want out, but it's just all the generals and the people that are implicated with him that are saying, you're not going anywhere.
I thought he was staying on for a couple of more years because he was on a final salary pension.
2 points to Jeremy. Actually, I'm going to give you an extra point for being so hilarious about it. So there's an extra one for you there. Zimbabweans look set to face another round of voting after leaked sources said the results of last month's election showed that while President Robert Mugabe had lost to Morgan Tsvangirai, neither had won an outright majority. President Mugabe asked if all the votes had been counted. When the answer was yes, he said, well, that's where you've been going wrong in the first place. Sue, who's been making another right royal flying visit again?
Well, this is Prince William, I believe, learning a salutary lesson this week. Salutary lesson.
So sorry.
That a Chinook isn't just a sex taxi. And millions of pounds of military hardware wasn't designed purely for the purpose of extending a stag weekend or impressing the missus or whatever and landing on your bird's lawn, which isn't a euphemism. It's actually what...
The pubs of Britain are going to be filled with blokes saying, yeah, I landed the Chinook on the bird's lawn.
basically, he's gone to Afghanistan for 3 hours. They justified it. They said it wasn't a PR stunt because they wanted to show him the RAF in theatre, which made me think of some sort of airborne version of the Cherry Orchard or something. Engaging.
Yeah. So, you know, whenever I'm flying, we must never ever talk about the Scottish War. No, no, no. Absolutely not. Oh, that's bad luck, dear boy, absolutely. I remember Johnny Gielgud was flying a Bell Huey during the Vietnam War. It was absolutely marvellous. And Ralph Richardson turned round to him in the cockpit.
They said for part of the trip he piloted the transport plane. What was he doing the rest of the time? Serving light refreshments.
Bizarrely, I read that support for the war in Afghanistan went up after people found out that Harry was there. Because if it involves somebody with such an astute grasp of foreign policy and fundamentalist Islam as Prince Harry, then I'm in.
Yeah. Prince William has made a secret visit to Afghanistan, dropping in on an RAF airfield for a few hours. To ask directions to a stag do on the Isle of Wight. So 2 points there to Sue Sir Phil.
Sir Phil?
As I insist
I
on...
I don't think that's going to happen, do
I
you?
I don't think so either. I'm just trying it out to see how it felt on my tongue. Now, Phil, who suggests a spring clean to avoid a dirty QWERTY?
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is... they have... You know, they. I always love doing the news quiz because I get to use the they. And it's a general cover-all kind of word that exposes I don't know who's done this. Nor do I care. But they have discovered that computer keyboards in the workplace are 5 times filthier than the average toilet seat. Some guy has come along and he's tested these keyboards to what bacteria are on them, and he went, the thing shot right off the charts. And he was just absolutely delighted with how much crap he found on this keyboard. And it was crap, literally, he found on one keyboard.
No.
And I should stress that these are supposed to be laptops. You really have got to have run out of not only toilet paper, then tissue, towels, everything. Yeah, convenient pets. Yeah. To be reaching for the keyboard of your computer.
You'd think you'd use your palm pad, wouldn't you, really? But don't you think toilet seats get a bit of a hard deal? Because people always say there's more germs on a toilet seat. And you think, well, used correctly, a toilet seat should be fairly clean, really. And hands, we know, are filthy purveyors of disease. Yeah. I mean, when you visit somebody in hospital, they don't ask you to rub a solution of alcohol over your buttocks, do they?
There was that advert for a cleaning product that said there are 40 times more germs on your chopping board than there are on a toilet seat. You try going to your missus and saying, it's OK, I cut the cheese next door in the lavatory.
Do you know, years ago I read this marvellous book called Gargantua by Rabelais. He's been dead for some time now. And I remember, as a sort of impressionable 14-year-old...
You can't mention Rabelais in connection with poo on a QWERTY keyboard.
Only on Radio 4, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I tell you why. It said in the book, it said that the nicest way to wipe yourself is to use a live goose. And
they do make a great wipe down.
Well, do you know, I've never yet checked into a luxury hotel and not been disappointed.
Yes. They actually call it foie arse.
Misusing the toilet duck.
And a swan can break your wind.
Rabelais said use a goose.
Yeah, a live goose, yeah.
So can the Queen use swans?
Only the Queen, yeah.
Only
you
the Queen.
Hold the neck, apparently, is the best way to do it.
Well, it's not going to come voluntarily, is it?
Not getting any goose feather pillows anymore, I'd
say. It's only the first episode of the series, and already a new low has been reached. Consumer group Which ran tests in an office, in fact, their own office, that revealed some computer keyboards can harbour more harmful bacteria than a toilet seat. According to the survey, sharing a keyboard can spread diseases amongst workers, so please remember, if you're going to dabble in typing, never ever share a keyboard and always wear a condom. So 2 points to Phil, and at the end of that round, Jeremy and Fred have got 9 points, but so have Sue and Phil. Before we start round three, here is a programme listing from the Radio Times.
Channel 5, 6:30 p.m, Zoo Days. An operation is performed on a mandrill and baby pandas emerge.
And our thanks to Stuart Malthouse of Holme Firth for sending us that. Jeremy, who was banged up for his pretend bang?
This is really weird, this. This is a sign of what a crazy world we live in. It was an Irishman, a man from the north of Ireland, who could be forgiven for having a slightly gallows sense of humour when it comes to explosives, I think, after their experience of many a long year. For a laugh, he said to people, "I'm a Muslim, I've got a bomb in my bag, it's going off in a minute." The people in the tube train went into blind panic. Now, I think this, that he said this, is a sign of progress. A few years ago, he'd only have had to open his mouth and the people on the train would have gone into blind panic. It's a sign of progress that he has had to stereotype the Muslim community to make the same joke.
Oh, come on, Jeremy. Haven't you ever sent anybody a Hezbollahgram?
The trouble is people have got so fixated with their own lives that they think there's going to be a bomb on their tube train. And they sit there and they see someone with a beard or someone who's a bit brown or someone who's bought some hummus and they say, "Oh, my God, it really is scary. It really is scary. You do have to be on your guard all the time these days." What makes you think you're going to be blown up, you self-important tosspot?
You say that all you want, mate. I'm telling you now, at some point, hummus will go off.
I think...
Ministry of Justice official George McFall faces 12 months in prison after pleading guilty to communicating false information. That's what they got Pinocchio for. After drunkenly telling a carriage of two passengers that his rucksack would explode in 60 seconds. Well, be fair, it's very difficult to get a seat during rush hour. So, 2 points there, Jeremy. Sue, which footballer saw some unexpected tackles this week?
Yeah, certainly not the tackle he was expecting. So he says, Ronaldo, the Brazilian erstwhile footballing legend known as the Phenomenon, I think, which makes him sound like a superhero, in which case his powers would be sitting on the bench for a very long time and not knowing the difference between a lady and a man. he had your average sort of night. He said goodbye to his girlfriend. They'd had a lovely evening. And as he sat in the car, he thought, what could possibly round off such a wholesome night? I know, I'm going to bag three hookers and get to a motel, which is what he did. He then claimed to be shocked, horrified, stunned, startled that they were all men. Was there a blackout in São Paulo that day? Was he sensorily deprived, for instance? But he claimed that he had no knowledge of their gender until they got back to a seedy motel, and he then tried to bribe them, saying, "I'll give you $300 if you don't tell anyone, I'll give you $500 if you dance the lambada in my grandmother's embroidered nightgown." And he's claiming he didn't know, which I think is a bridge too far.
Are you saying he wasn't prepared to land his Chinook in the back garden?
I'm sort of saying he's now more of an AC/DC Milan striker.
One of them did look very like a lady. Well, to be fair.
And I think, something you want to share with the group, Jeremy?
I think, leaving aside the matter of the ethical question of prostitution itself and the exploitation of people's vulnerability for the pursuit of selfish sexual gratification, leaving that aside in the interests of levity, if you're a man who tries to pass himself off as a lady, prostitution is probably not the best job to try and do.
Surely someone must have said, "You won't come to motel tonight." Who do you think that was? Jessica Biel needing a honey and lemon locket? I mean, it's quite obvious, isn't it?
Look, just because they've got genitals, they're not going to, "All right, love, come on." "I know, I'm a lovely lady. Let's go back to your house. I've got two mates with me. Aren't you a footballer?" "Brenda, Sally." "What?" "It's Ronaldo." Now, I think you'll find that my São Paulo accent is perfecto.
It's North São Paulo, isn't it?
Just the edge.
Just a little hint.
"You won't come home tonight."
I'm shocked. This whole thing has made me realise that Phil isn't the woman I thought he was.
"I'm a pretty lady, Sandy. Look at me."
Brazilian football ace Ronaldo, or Ronaldo Luiz Nazário de Lima, as his friends call him, has been caught up in a sex scandal investigation after it was revealed he inadvertently hired three transvestite prostitutes who then proceeded to blackmail him. Why are people so fascinated by football? I don't understand it. Honest to God, anything you can train a dog to do should not be classed as a sport. before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cutting as the teams have brought along Mr. Hardy.
Humphrey Littleton gave me this cutting a few weeks ago, and I hoped that I would use it on the news quiz, and it's obviously been my first opportunity, so it's a way of saying thank you and farewell to Humph. It's from The Telegraph. Once bitten, not twice shy. Wolfgang Leander, 67, a free diver, swims among tiger sharks at Alwol Shoal off the coast of East Africa. The fearsome creatures, which can grow to 14 foot, are considered to be one of the most dangerous sharks to humans. The Bolivian loves to be among them, despite having been bitten in the Bahamas several years ago.
This was found in the Gulf Times, and it's a correction. You know how sometimes newspapers can type things wrongly. The question that was set in the paper said, the poll question said, who do you think will win the Pakistan election, should actually have read, how do you rate this year's Dubai shopping festival compared to last year? And they apologise for any inconvenience that may have caused.
Man who told police he'd been sexually assaulted by a wombat has failed to substantiate his claim in court. Not only did Arthur Craddock make up the wombat sex story, but the New Zealander also insisted the trauma of the attack had left him speaking Australian. Earlier on the afternoon of February 11th, he'd called police in Nelson, New Zealand, with a threat to smash the filth if they came to his home that night. He told the operator, I'll retract the rape complaint from the wombat because he's pulled out.
Mr. Jupiters.
It's from Times Online. A foul-mouthed parrot has taught two other birds to swear to the annoyance of the owner of a wildlife sanctuary. Barney, a seven-year-old macaw, has been swearing so often in front of a pair of African greys called Sam and Charlie that they have picked up his language. Jeff, the owner of the Warwickshire Wildlife Sanctuary, said, they just sit there swearing at each other now. It sounds like a builder's yard. In 2005, Barney was placed in solitary confinement after he told the local mayor to f*** off. During a civic visit, and then turned to two police officers and a vicar and added, you can f*** off too.
Let's take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Fred have got 13 points, but Sue and Phil, for their astonishing range of voices this week, are this week's winners with 14 points. Before we leave you, here is a quiz question spotted on the back of a packet of Smarties by Brian Williams.
Which sea hosts Radio 1's breakfast show?
And with that, goodbye.
Part in the news quiz with Jeremy Hardy, Fred McCauley, Sue Perkins and Phil Jupiters. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig and the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The chair's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield and Danielle Ward, with additional material by Jane Lammercraft. The producer was Ed Morrish.